Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and the Son has set me free. You need to add in a part to that. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and he has set me free. Make everything personal. Like the article I put in the bulletin, I ended it, it's got to be personal. God's word works, but it's got to be personal. You can't believe it was just for Abraham or David or the apostles. You've got to believe it's for you. You have got to accept the word of God as being for you. I heard somebody say years and years ago, minister was speaking somewhere and we were there, and he got up and he said, I just want to tell you this, I'm God's favorite son. For a minute that took me back. The way I'd been raised, you know, you couldn't say that because you wasn't worthy to say something like that. And I get to thinking about that. And then he said, and you're God's favorite son too. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. What we're going to do right now before I minister in the word, we're going to pray. And I want you to lift a hand to heaven if you've got something or somebody on your heart that you want God to do something. You lifting your hand to heaven is a sign of your faith. Lord, I've got faith in you. I'm reaching out to you. Now, you be diligent to focus on this thing that you're praying for. Because God knows your needs even before you ask. But he just wants us to exercise the faith and ask him. So Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We come to you, Lord God, extending our faith to you. Reaching out in faith, believing. Believing that you said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And Lord God, the last time I looked, there's nothing impossible with you. The last time I got the information from you, you're still doing everything you always did. You are still the God of the impossible. With man it may be impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes. And this morning, Lord God, we're standing before you with our hands lifted up, representing these different needs and these different individuals, people that we have on our heart, things that we have on our heart, things, Lord God, that need to be taken care of by the kingdom of God, by the power of the Spirit of God, and our faith in that power. We thank you, Lord God, this morning that we're going to be able to see sick people healed, lost people saved, people that are depressed and bent down, we're going to be able to see them freed by the power of the presence of God. We're going to open our mouth of the Word of God, and then we're going to speak to the mountain, and we're going to see him moved. We're going to command the devil to leave, and he's going to leave. We're going to cast out devils. We're going to raise the dead. We're going to heal the sick, cleanse the leper. We're going to do everything that you said do, even those things that seem to be impossible with man. We thank you, Lord God, for the faithfulness that you've shown us. We thank you, Lord God, for the righteousness you have given us, and for the blessings, Lord God, that you have promised to us. We thank you, Lord God, that we can count on you. And now we do these things, Lord God, and we put an amen on the end of them, saying, so be it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Sister Shirley told us last week that God wants to bless us. And while she was preaching that message, I just got all stirred up. And I couldn't be here Wednesday night. This past Wednesday night, because I had to be out of town for meet with my voice therapist. Do you think it's done any good? I think I sound pretty good this morning. I don't sound much different than I did years ago. And that's just after a couple of weeks of work. Give me a few more weeks and I'm going to really sound good. Amen. But I told her, I said, you take care of the Wednesday night Bible study, I'll preach for you Sunday morning. So we traded off. And I'm gonna share something that's a little different, but it goes right along with what she said about us realizing that we're blessed. We're blessed people. We are all blessed people. God doesn't pick some to bless and some not to bless. He doesn't pick some to lift up and others to push down. Now, circumstances and life around us, that's what causes those kind of things to happen. But we've got to learn how to deal with them. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at something that the Lord gave me that goes right along with what she's been ministering. And I don't think she got finished last Sunday, did she? No. So she'll continue on with what she started last week, and I'm just going to interject this in the middle. And I want you to go to Acts chapter 10. Now, what I'm going to be dealing with and what I'm going to say covers a whole chapter, but I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to read bits and pieces of it and tell you what the rest of it says, and you can go read it for yourself to see if I told you the truth. But I am going to start in verse 1, reading, and it says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always." Now, first of all, you've got to understand that's a pretty good summation of what a man should be doing. But you also got to realize that this man was not a Jew. This man was a Roman. Now, it was easy for people to understand how God could bless the Jews because the Jews were God's people. I mean, he called Abraham and he said he was going to be a father to him. And he said, "I'm going to make a mighty nation out of you. And it's going to be like the sand of the sea." But he also said something else. He said, "And through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." All the nations of the earth will be blessed. But the devil's done a good job of telling us Gentiles that we're just stepchildren. If we'd have been back when Abraham was living, if we'd have been back when Jesus was living, if some of those things had been different, if we would have been a part of the kingdom then, and I'm talking about the kingdom of God in the sense of Israel, that we could have expected God to do all these things. But here was a man that wasn't a Jew, and he was crying out to God and giving alms. He was praying and giving. And we'll see through this chapter that later on, that praying and giving moved God. Changed the circumstances. It got God's attention. And while he was doing this, an angel appeared to him, and the angel told him, and I'm just giving you in my words and paraphrasing it, "I want you to got called down to Joppa for a man named Simon Peter. And I want you to tell him to come up here because he's got words to tell you that you need to hear." And so he got two of his servants and one of the soldiers and sent them to Joppa to find Peter. Now, then verse 9. "The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city," now that's these two servants and the soldier that Cornelius sent to Joppa. "The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and letting down to the earth. In it were many kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean.' And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, did you know you can get a word from God, you can get a revelation from God, you can hear the voice of God inside you or audibly or whatever, and he can tell you something perfectly clear, and you can still wonder what he meant. Now, Peter knew he had an experience. He knew what the experience was. He knew what he saw. He held on to it. But it said he was pondering what it meant. Behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius and made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, who was named Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing." Doubting nothing. "For I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, this was God's purpose. God's working with Cornelius. God's working with Cornelius, who is a Gentile, to come to the point where Cornelius realizes that he has as much privilege with God as the Jews. That he doesn't have to be ashamed to come to God. And he's going to send somebody down there to tell him exactly what it is he needs to know about how to have a relationship with God. Now, can you imagine a man giving alms and praying without ceasing and believing in his heart, reaching out to a God that he doesn't know, except from seeing him with the people of Israel? Now, Cornelius has asked something for God, and God is going to do for Cornelius what Cornelius asked him to do, but he has to do it in a way that he wants it done, and the way that he wanted it done was for Peter to go to Caesarea and to preach the gospel to Cornelius. Now, Peter did not even know what was happening, but before God could bless Cornelius with what he needed and wanted, God had to change Peter. When that sheet came down in front of Peter, and that voice said, "Kill and eat," and he said, "No, Lord, nothing common or unclean has ever crossed my lips." You know what he was saying? He's saying, "The law says I can't eat those things. The law says it's wrong for me to eat those animals that are common or unclean." And then the voice said, "Peter, what I have cleansed, don't you call it common or unclean." If Peter's mind had not been changed, he would never have gone to Cornelius to preach to him. Because Peter was a Jew, and he didn't hang out with Gentiles. He didn't eat with Gentiles. He didn't talk to Gentiles. you know, in a friendly, cordial, communicative way, maybe through business and all like that. But his religious upbringing forbade him to be intimately in fellowship with a Gentile. But yet God said, do it. You know, Peter could have eaten anything in that sheet and God wouldn't have held it against him. But Peter thought he would. He said, Lord, you're asking me to do something I've never done. You're asking me to do something I've been taught I should never do. You know, we've been taught about stuff we should never do that we ought to be doing. And we've been taught things where we shouldn't do, and we've been doing them too. We got to get it right. We got to put it together right. We got to do what God says do. And if God says do something that was against what you've been taught, and you know it was God, you better do it. There was a little, and I'm not being political, I'm just using this as an example. A little incident arose concerning Vice President Pence. And I can't even remember now. I remember what I'm getting ready to tell you, but I don't really know. It had something to do with something he was going to be overseeing or something he was going to be involved in. And there were some protests about him doing it because of his Christian stand. And some prominent Catholic, and it just happened to be a Catholic, some prominent Catholic made a statement involving this, you know, when they were protesting about him being asked to do this because of his religious, he was so strongly religious, so much of a dyed-in-the-wool Christian. And this Catholic lady, she said, well, the Christian part doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that somebody's speaking in tongues. And you know, there's a lot of people in the churches around the world that have been taught that speaking in tongues is of the devil. And they have members that would really love the blessings of God, but they think that if they got the blessings of God, they'd have to speak in tongues, and speaking in tongues is of the devil. And so if you're going to speak in tongues because the devil's making you speak in tongues, then that's not bringing you closer to God, and they're all confused about what to do. So here we've got a whole session with God and Peter, getting Peter ready to do something that God told him to do that Peter wasn't sure he was ready for. But the next day he went with him. Now you know what that says to me? That says he was obedient to what God told him to do in spite of what he thought about it. Sometimes we've got to be obedient to God in spite of what we think about it. Because if you're obedient to God, but your thinking is disassociated with that or contrary to what you've been told to do, but you know God's talking to you, then what you think is not worth much. It doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter what you think. Same with me. I'm not just saying this to you, with all of us. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what we feel. It doesn't matter at that particular point what we believe. The important thing is what God said. What God said. And when we're finished here this morning, I don't want you to just have to believe you're blessed because you'd like to be blessed. I don't want you to believe you're blessed because you feel like you're blessed, because if you believe that you're blessed because you feel like you're blessed, you're probably not believing you're blessed. Because there's not a single one of us in here that the devil at one time or another hasn't come to us with some feeling telling us that we're not important to God. God doesn't care about us. Other people, yes, but not me. But Peter was obedient to God in spite of what he thought. Because he's still pondering this thing with the sheep. Verse 24. And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. This man meaning business. He didn't say, well, when this guy gets here and I meet with him, if he's really got anything to say, I'll call y'all. He was so sure that he was going to hear something that they all needed to hear that he had them there waiting for Peter to get there. Because he believed when God told him at the first of the chapter what to do. Go send for a man named Simon Peter and he'll tell you what you need to do. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, he's still thinking about it. You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. Now that's what he'd been taught. And the law had said in certain issues to keep separate. But Peter said, you know what I'm doing here is unlawful. In his own mind, now think about this, in his own mind he was dealing with the fact that going here and doing this is breaking the law. Not the law of man, not the law of the Jewish nation, but the law of God. Because he's told us not to be with that which is common and unclean. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. God has shown me through this special that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now I'm telling you this morning, don't call yourself common and unclean. There are a lot of people that believe that they're saved and still believe they're unclean. They believe they're unworthy because they haven't lived up to a law that has been placed upon them. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He showed me that you were not common and unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. We're here to hear whatever God told you to tell us. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. King James says that God is no respecter of persons. God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Yeah, that's true. I know that God accepts all who work righteousness. But I can't work righteousness. You're not called to work righteousness. It doesn't say what you have to do to be. You know what you have to do to be righteous? You have to believe. Lord, what must we do to do the works of God? That's what his disciples asked him one time. What must we do to do the works of God? And Jesus had a simple answer to him. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. You want to work the works of God? Believe on Jesus. Believe that Jesus is who he said he is, that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the healer, the deliverer, the provider, that everything we have in available to us and everything we have in God comes through Jesus Christ and what he did. It doesn't come through what you do. Now, what you do will get God's attention. And what you do will get the devil's attention. And you start doing what you're supposed to be doing, and I guarantee you the devil will not like it. And he will try to stop it. He will try to get you to in a situation where you do not believe what you started to do. You can give your heart to the Lord and have a desire to serve him, and then something happens in your life, and the devil comes to you through some way or means. It might be another person. It might be a demonic spirit. It might be a thought in your own head, but he'll come to you and say, I thought you were saved. Why, you know you're not saved if you thought that. You had that thought. You can't be saved. I mean, you've got to be lost by thinking that thought. If you were really saved, you wouldn't have thought that. If you were really saved, you wouldn't have said that. If you were really saved, you wouldn't have done that. You've had it happen. Maybe not as you've grown up, but I know before we knew anything much, or before when we first got saved and we're trying to learn, we might have had those thoughts. We might not know what to do with them, and they might have overcome some of us sometime. But even if you have them now, well, I thought you was a Christian. What in the world did you say that for? You just lost 10 brownie points with God. You only allowed 100, now remember? I'll tell you one thing. If that's what it was based on, and God gave you 100 brownie points when you got saved, and he said, now don't do stuff to lose these. If you lose them all, you've lost your salvation. Wouldn't be saying much with the blood of Jesus. Still be up to you whether you were saved or not. You'd still have to be the one doing it. You'd still be the one saving yourself. Can you see that? If we base our relationship with God and our salvation on anything other than the blood of Jesus, we are saving ourselves. And the Word of God says that's impossible. Let me tell you what partiality means. God shows no partiality. It's from a Greek word meaning a receiver of a face. It's one who takes sides, showing favoritism, exhibiting bias, showing discrimination, showing partiality, treating one person better than another. While society makes distinctions among people, God's love and grace are available for all and can be received by anyone. Partiality means that some people are in your sight, some people are better than others. And that may be true by the way they're living, or by the way they look, or by the way they act. But in truth, God died for them just as much as he died for you. And when you see people that you think are blessed of God and that God has a special place in his heart for them and that he loves them, oh, I just wish God loved me as much as he does Kenneth Hagin. Oh, I just wish God loved me as much as he loved Oral Roberts or Billy Graham. He does. He does. It's unconditional. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and who went out doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses in all these, in all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed and hung on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Now, why would Peter write that or say that and Luke write it down if it wasn't true? We don't have a giant illustrative plot here to convince the world that Jesus was somebody who he wasn't. If that had been the case, this would have been overturned years and years and years ago, centuries ago. It wouldn't have lasted. But it's never been disproven. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and of the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Whoever believes in him will receive remissions of sins. Not he who performs perfectly, but he who believes. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. How did they know the Holy Spirit had been poured out on them? Because they spoke with tongues. Now what happened between 2,000 years ago and now? Nothing except people's thinking. Now I'm going to tell you something else. I'll throw this in here. It's terrible the way things are in this country right now. It's terrible what happened this last week down in Florida at that high school, and those kids were killed for no reason except just the craziness and the demonic activity of another individual. And then now we made something political out of it, gun control. Here we go again with it. I'll tell you what. It's not what's in the gun cabinet at home that's the cause of it. It's what's in the heart of people this day. Now I want you to be sure to read that thing on the back of the bulletin this morning by Andrew Womack. The only way we're going to change things, it's not a matter of what's available to people now, it's a matter of what's in people's hearts. You can pass a gun law in this country and you can get rid of all the guns and everything, and you'll have the same situation that they had in the 20s and 30s when they had prohibition. That flew like a lead duck. Was it a good idea? Seemed to be at the time. What happened to it? The people that wanted it got it, and they got it through illegal means, and there was plenty of it to go around. They didn't have to hunt and scratch. If they wanted some alcohol, all they had to do was know the right person, and they could get it and as much of it as they wanted. But you couldn't do it legally. That's exactly what's going to happen if they pass a gun law forbidding people to have guns in this country. It's going to be just like it was when they passed a law prohibiting people from selling alcohol legally. Then the gun runners are going to be the ones that don't have the guns. The gun runners are going to be the ones that are going to sell guns to people that want the guns. And the honest people may not have guns, and they may not try to buy guns on the black market or anything, but you know it's those kind of people are not the ones that are shooting everybody. Changing the hearts of the people. And we've got so far away from God since the 1960s. You go back to the 1960s, and that's when everything started drifting away from God. And the longer we've gone, the further we're drifting. And I think in the last few years, somebody cut the rope that was holding us to the dock to start with, and now we don't have anything to keep us from drifting because we've set aside God. We don't let him in anywhere anymore. And when he doesn't come in, who fills the void? The devil. It's like light. You turn out the light, you don't have to turn on the dark. You turn out the light, the dark's already there. You take away the good, the evil's already there. Just waiting for the dark, waiting for the light to go out. Now listen to his next question, and I'll throw this as a side, this is a sidebar. Call it a rabbit if you want to. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Now, can you receive the Holy Spirit before you're saved? According to the Scripture, no. Now, he might visit you, he might come upon you, but he will not come to live in you until you are saved. What do you have to do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Peter asked him a question. Is there any reason why we shouldn't baptize them since they've had the Holy Ghost fall upon them just like we did? And they all agreed and they said, then they baptized them in the name of the Lord. You know what that says to me? Without very much contradiction? When you take Scripture up on Scripture, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. But you should be baptized because you are saved, to make that a statement of what you're doing. I'm being baptized. That's a signal. Yes, I've committed this. It's more than just a commitment in my heart. It's a commitment I'm making like this. But I was saved because I believed and received Jesus Christ. Argument's over with me. Now, there's one other thing that I want to do. I want to take this and I want to show you how this got tied in with being blessed. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. In other words, if you're going to do the law, live by the law. Don't leave none of it out. Don't pick and choose your categories. You're going to live under the law, you got to live under the whole law. But thank God, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham has come upon the Gentile. Now, keeping that in mind, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Are you blessed? Yes. Somebody say, are you blessed? Yes. How did you get it? I believed it. Jesus Christ is our life. Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham, and God made it some way, and you can't explain it, how God did it. You just know that it happened. He made us one with Christ, which makes us the seed that it was talking about. And Paul says, not to his seeds as many, but to his seed as one. And that one is Jesus Christ. That's the one that received the blessings of the promises of God to Abraham. But he made us one with him. And if we are one with him, then we will inherit with him. If we are one with him, then we will reign with him. If we are one with him, then we will sit with him. If we are one with him, that's the way God sees us. We are his sons. We are his daughters as much as Jesus Christ. The devil don't want you to know it, and if he slips up and lets you know it, then he don't want you to believe it. How could God look at me as though I were Jesus? That takes something more than human. That takes something more than the natural. That takes the supernatural. In the supernatural realm, we are one with Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to use something I was going to use in my Wednesday night, but most of you won't be there. I'm sorry to say, because you're missing a lot, aren't they? But a little song we used to sing. I am covered over with the robe of righteousness which Jesus gave to me. I am covered over with the robe of righteousness. Come on, sing it. Covered over with the robe of righteousness that Jesus gave to me. He gave to me. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus that he shed for me. He gave for me. Oh, what joy it is to know my heavenly Father loves me so and gave to me my Jesus. And when he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. Wow, that's awesome. And that means you are blessed. And don't you ever forget it. Let's stand. Blessed, 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 blessed. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I'm blessed going in, I'm blessed coming out. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath, because Abraham's blessings are mine. You ought to go out of here just like clicking your heel this morning. Abraham's blessings are mine. Da-da-da-da-da. Covered by his love divine, because Abraham's blessings are mine. Amen. Reach out and get it. Reach out and take your blessing. When you don't feel blessed, don't go by your feelings. When you don't seem blessed, don't look like you're blessed. Circumstances don't indicate you're blessed. You're still blessed. You're still blessed. And you know what the most amazing blessing is? That when you die, you're going to live with Jesus and God forever. Yeah. And you know, we did Sister Cheryl Wall Hemby's funeral Friday. She's gone from us. But she is where she has always intended to be when the time came. That's got to be the way it is with us. Just live like we're on our way, because we are. But live it every day. Smile on your face. Spring in your step. Don't let the devil get the advantage of you. He's a good liar. Don't listen to him. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for the blessing of Abraham. Thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit that you've given us. Thank you, Lord God, that when you look at us now, you see the blood of Jesus. You see your own, you see your son, you see your daughter, you see your child, one that you would gladly put your arms around if they just run to you and get in your lap. They'd look at you and say, Daddy, I love you. You'd look back and say, Son, you don't know how much I love you. You've not figured that out yet, but you're going to. I thank you, Lord God, that you've given us that kind of situation. You've made that available to us. Your blessings, Lord God, with us, go with us. They cover us. You said that your blessings would come upon us and overtake us. We're believing that, Lord God. Your blessings are real. Your blessings are true. Your blessings are good. And your blessings are ours. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week. And you are blessed.